It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Happy NFL Week 1 day, everybody. It's the start of the new sports year as far as I'm concerned. Week 1 kicks off tonight. Chiefs and the Ravens. Should be a good one. And then we have the Packers and the Eagles tomorrow in Brazil. Did you see the Packers walking in there? It didn't look too happy. No one seems happy to be there in Brazil. I hear Brazil's lovely. I just, you know, it's not a... No one's happy about it. They got a big long list of things they're not supposed to do. Don't leave the room. Don't make eye contact with anybody. Right. Don't touch anything. Don't, you know, it's very, very, very strict. It's like how Bill used to run camp, you know, back in the day. You have to be in, lights out, you know, bed check at night. Like no one's really allowed to do anything in Brazil.
They're not on vacation. It's a job.
Yes.
Do your job. It's a work trip. What, you want to go there and just, you know, go swimming, go whitewater rafting, hit the beach?
Patriots did a lot of stuff in Germany. You know, they were talking about going around, seeing all the sights and going to museums and the beer halls and all that stuff. I know, I'm just saying.
Work trip. Do
your
job.
It was a work trip. They went
to play a football game and win it.
They went to work in Germany. They didn't do much out there. It was a pretty ugly game.
Yeah, maybe they should have focused on the game a little bit more.
Probably.
Maybe Mac Jones should have focused on throwing it to his team.
Yeah, that might have helped.
Robert Kraft should have focused on... Not a great jacket,
Robert. No, 617 dead jack. I forgot about that. 617-779-790. That was a Costanza jacket. 7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones here. Talk to Melvin, who is in Chelsea, with a thought on the NFL. Go ahead, Melvin.
So I have a question about AFC East, fellas. Who do you think will win it this year? And second question for me is, what do you guys think about Bill Belichick being more open to the media now?
All right, well...
He is the media.
He is, I mean, open to the media. He's everywhere you look, Bill Belichick's getting a new job. He's gotten a new job every day of the week for the past 5 weeks, it seems like.
Bit of a hoo-ha.
He's seeing him all over the place
now.
He's an InstaFace user.
That was so uncomfortable, that video, that hostage video.
Yeah, that was pretty weird.
And edited, because he clearly, you know, couldn't do it naturally and do it on one cut, so it was a bunch of little chop-ups. And then the first story he posts was...
You think the girlfriend had the ring light on him? She must have, right?
Yeah. And a gun to his...
You're doing this. Read the card, Bill.
I want a new bag.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's a good Instagram boyfriend, although I will say this. He follows his girlfriend, obviously, Jordan, I forget her name, but Jordan
Isabella,
something. Isabella. I started following Jordan Isabella. She has not posted anything since, like, June. Really, you haven't? She hasn't been on Instagram very much. Maybe she's been posting stories. I don't know. I just started following her, so I couldn't really speak to that. But in terms of, like, her actual posts, there hasn't been much at all.
Well, they say relationships are all about compromise. Maybe he said, you need to get off Instagram, and she said, I'll get off Instagram if you get on Instagram. Mm. Maybe that was the swap.
That could be.
So he can do, you know, witty, professional, funny, sarcastic, whatever the hell he's going to do. And he keeps her from posting, like...
Thirst traps?
What exactly does that mean?
What does thirst trap mean? A thirst trap. I'm so glad you asked. A thirst trap is can be posted. It's a unisex thing. It can be a man.
Yeah,
a man can post a thirst
trap.
A man or a woman posting a picture of themselves, generally, sexy picture.
Provocative.
In order to get people to tell them how good looking they are. It's a thirst trap. We want people to cut. You want people to comment on it.
I should do that.
You should.
For Awaken 180.
Absolutely.
Prior to Awaken 180.
Awaken 180 thirst trap would be a weekly thing. It could be a weekly segment.
So I just got to you know, put a little oil on my abs and get the right light and shadows so it looks like I have better six-pack than I actually do.
Absolutely. That's how it works.
Hmm.
That's what it is.
I might do some thirst trap photos.
Yeah,
there's
maybe,
not
maybe
much
go
to
no
it.
Visor.
Bice. What?
Go no visor.
Ooh, whoa,
with
hey.
I was thinking
off.
Going everything else, no, and
just
the visor.
Visor.
Sans clothes, but just visor. I think that
I
would
like
sell.
It.
The visor stays on, ladies.
Damn right.
It's like the Edelman cover, just the visor.
And then there's your thirst trap photo.
Yeah, that's my thirst trap photo right there.
Boobs
I was really pushing them up there. No question about that. I wanted everybody commenting on the balcony, if you know what I mean. But yeah, that's what a thirst trap is generally. It's a picture of yourself selfie, something like that, in which you're you got it going on and you put it out there so that people comment and say, wow, you're looking good. Hey, well, you lose some weight, you've been working out, you know, that type of thing. It's a thirst trap. You're trying to trap people into being thirsty for you.
Okay, that's what it's all about.
I feel like women are more successful at that than men.
Generally, I would agree with that. By the way, in one day, Bill Belichick has amassed 310,000 followers on Instagram. He has three posts. One of them was that weird video that you talked about. He has another weird video, which is him talking to Pat McAfee. And then there's another video, which is it's just a post of him and the NFL as a co-collaborator saying, I can't believe I'm doing this, but I joined InstaFace. So far, all three of them are just about the fact that he's created an Instagram account.
So I'm going to make a comparison here that seems off base, but I feel like it may be. Everybody thought Gronk might be kind of funny. And then they realize he's kind of a one-trick pony.
Yes.
He's Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot of breath.
Well, he was funny when he said, expect the Bengals to rabble me homes. Like, that was funny.
Yeah, but...
I found that very funny.
Kind of ran its course relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you feel like Bill's kind of the same thing? Like, he's kind of...
Thought he was going to be funny?
No. Like, he's getting by now with, oh, it's funny, he said InstaFace, he joined.
Right. But like, he has more insight to provide. Like, I think there is there's more depth to him. Yes, I do.
I don't know about that.
I think at the draft, when he brought out those big draft boards or whatever, that was a little bit of a try-hard move, I thought. But at the very least, it showed, all right, he's willing to give you a glimpse into how he thinks about these things and his insight into the game, which I think is something people value.
How many people? Like, what percent of the population wants the deep dive?
What percent of
football
fans?
No, the whole population.
The whole population of the world? I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, in terms of
football
fans. My point,
he's a niche guy.
Right, he's a football guy. I mean, I'm talking football
fans. I'm not even sure fans in other cities want him, because some of them probably still hate him.
I mean, they might still hate him, sure.
So I feel like he's a niche guy inside a Patriot Nation.
Like, you think Rex Ryan's good on TV?
A double. Oh, yeah.
Okay, why?
Like, he makes me laugh.
Because he's funny, right?
Yeah, and can be sarcastic and often goes too far and then apologizes the next day like he shouldn't have said it. Bill's not going to do that.
What do you call Amari Cooper, a turd?
Yeah, like Bill's never going to do that.
No, probably
not. He's not going to get so comfortable where you get the real Bill. And the real Bill, I think, would be good, because the real Bill is a vulgar, sarcastic dude. And if you got that guy, I'm interested. But I don't think you're ever going to get that.
Maybe you get that on the Manning cast, right?
I doubt it.
No, you can't swear on the Manning cast. He's not doing anything you could swear on, right? Maybe his podcast
with
Patricia.
Well, his podcast, you could.
With him and Patricia, yeah, you could get.
Patricia would be uncomfortable.
Easy, Bill.
Let me say more.
There's children listening.
Yeah, no. I feel like I'm a cynic. Like, Curran listed Bill and Brady as one of the things he's excited about for this season.
For their media careers, yeah.
I don't care. I really have limited interest.
I'm going to be interested in Brady's like first game, and unless he knocks it out of the park and is just, wow, I can't believe, listen to how good he sounds, listen to these things he's saying. And even then, like, there's not a lot of that. I remember Tony Romo, when he first started, everyone thought he was so great because he predicted what the next play was going to be with like a 65% hit rate, which at the time was like, wow, this guy really knows everything, what a genius. And then it just got old, you know, like that sort of thing. You gotta I don't know, there's a consistency to being a good broadcaster, which I certainly know nothing about, but like there's you know, there's
why
a consistency,
it's the afternoon
to
show
it. Exactly, that you have to have to keep doing every single time you crack the microphone, which is what I do every 2 to 6. I crap the microphone.
And then you add the Brady limitations of no production meetings. He can't criticize the refs. He can't criticize either team. Well, what is it you'd say you do here if you can't criticize either team or the refs? Isn't there a critical nature to color commentary?
Yes.
You can praise one, but I feel like at some point every play and every game has a winner and a loser. It's like he can't even acknowledge the losers
because
he's an owner and now he's part of the club.
I know.
Blah, blah, blah.
He screwed that up.
You know,
that really sort of screwed up any chance he had.
Did he screw it up?
At being a good broadcaster,
did he
yes.
screw up $375 million being deposited into his bank account?
No, but in terms of, you know, his legacy as a broadcaster, right? It's what everyone says. Oh, Brady's going to be good at it because he's good at everything, because he's a competitor and he won't let himself go on the air and be bad at it. Well, you know, when you stretch yourself too thin like that, then all of a sudden you're basically putting a wall between yourself and the ability to do a good broadcast, because you can't criticize anybody.
At the end of the year, when we're having our postseason discussions, who's going to have had the better season, Belichick or Brady?
Belichick.
Really? Stiz is a, you may not know this from the night show, Stiz is like a In Bill We Trust honk.
Okay.
The honk of the honkiest.
Good to know.
Honks. Right?
I watched his speech from Brady night last night again. It's like, oh, Bill! The ovation he got.
Did you have your visor on?
No, I got to go.
He stood up and applauded in his living room.
I did. Like, just by
Bill!
Myself.
Oh, man.
You really are.
Yeah, man. I love Bill. I do.
Wow.
Hey, a lot of people love Bill.
Bill won a lot of games, won a lot of championships.
He did. Now he's in the media. We'll see how good he is at that.
We will see how he does. Before we go to break here, there was an article on Bleacher Report, and I know it's Bleacher Report.
Oh, nice. A bastion of journalistic integrity.
A fella named Christopher with a K, Christopher Knox, wrote the 2024 NFL trade block big board entering week one. And I don't even really, you know, I wasn't even thinking about this sort of stuff until I took a look at it and saw that there is some real Patriot implications here. Number 10 on this list is Amari Cooper, Rex Ryan's best friend. And the Kevin Knox writes the following, or Christopher Knox writes the following. Several wide receivers made our week one board because one only needs to study the Brandon Ayuk situation to understand there's a clear demand for capable wideouts. Amari Cooper, the top receiver on the board based on talent and recent production. However, the Cleveland Browns certainly won't actively shop him. He's their number one target, and there's little to be gained financially by trading him. However, there are two scenarios where Cooper could become available. In the first, Browns fall out of contention early and look to cash in before he hits the open market in 2025. In the second, Cleveland finds an opportunity to land a difference maker at another position. Cooper would be a solid get for a contender lacking a proven number one receiver like the Green Bay Packers. He would also be a tremendous addition to a team looking to develop a young quarterback such as the New England Patriots. Now, we know the Patriots were willing to give up the farm, and I think we heard today like $80 million guaranteed for Brandon Ayuk. Could they put together, would they put together a similar, maybe not quite as extreme, but a similar package to try and land an Amari Cooper?
How about no? Like,
would you want Amari Cooper?
5 years different in age? He's already 30. He's a post-30 wide receiver. Now, who's been on three teams now in
Cowboys,
his NFL career.
Cowboys, Raiders, and the Raiders, right, yeah.
Three teams, 30-something receiver. Would I take him? Absolutely. But am I...
Would
pursuing
you trade,
him to be the number one? No.
Would you trade a second-round pick for him?
No.
No?
I don't think I would.
Okay.
Because he's not fulfilling what I need. I feel like I need my true number one, prime of his career, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, Garrett Wilson, whatever. He's beyond that. He's past his prime. I think he would be a great number two. If you were really putting together one of these duos, mm-hmm. seems like there's duos, you mentioned it earlier, all across the NFL at these
sure.
wide receiver spots. You want to put a duo together and you tell me we got Garrett Wilson and Amari Cooper, we got T. Higgins and Amari Cooper, and now Demario Douglas is the slot, Jalen Polk's the fourth result. Okay, now we're putting together a little something.
Now we're cooking with grease.
So I don't love it, no.
Also on this list, Mac Jones, who I think could absolutely get traded. The Raiders and the Giants could both be looking for quarterbacks. They've had some other teams, too. He had a great preseason, and they also still have C.J. Beathard, who I think is injured right now, but is another backup that they could have there for Trevor Lawrence if they wanted to explore getting a draft pick or something else for Mac Jones, who they only spent a fifth or a fourth?
What
the Patriots?
It was not a fourth.
It was a fifth. I guess it must have been a fifth then. Either way, they could probably do better than that to move on from Mac Jones now. And then there's Jonathan Jones, friend of the show.
Oh,
Jonathan Jones on this list.
But we talked to him.
I know.
Week.
The Patriots, writes Knox, don't have a very strong offensive supporting cast, and it's likely to be a very long season. At some point, it will look. The Patriots may look to sell off capable defensive pieces who won't directly impact May's development, like cornerback Jonathan Jones. Patriots already traded Matthew Judon, and while Jones didn't enter a trade request like Judon did, he's 30 years old and an impending free agent. Virtually any team in need of a proven starting corner would jump at the chance to have Jones. The Rams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, both playoff hopefuls, would be eager to swing a deal. This sort of, and I don't know if Jonathan Jones is going to be the guy or what, but he does sort of fit the profile of an older player, someone who's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. And if this is going to be a rebuilding type season, you would imagine that there's going to be offers pouring in for a guy like him, or maybe some other players on the defense. And do the Patriots start taking those calls? Do they start maybe selling off some pieces? If you're really rebuilding, that sort of seems like what rebuilding teams do, doesn't it?
Sure. I think they absolutely should. And I think you could even paint it respectfully, like give him a chance to go play meaningful football in December or January.
Sure.
Right? He's going to be a free agent. All those things, except for the comments from Elliot Wolf in the Boston Herald today,
right.
where he, you know, we could never disrespect the game in terms of tanking, and that's not what we're building here, and all those different things.
That means losing on purpose, but, you know.
I mean, you
when's the trade deadline? Week 8?
Yeah-ish, right
so
around
if
there, just before Halloween.
2-6 at week 8, you know, I mean, then you're already sort of tanking.
But if you trade one of your best defensive players at a thin position, a house of cards cornerback, then don't give me your high horse, we're not tanking crap.
Right.
Like, that's not, You could always pull a Bill out and say we did what was in the best interest of the football team, and that's
right.
fine.
And your
and I'd agree
philosophy
with you.
In before week one could be different than it is at week eight. You know,
I mean, not when you're as high horsey as Wolf is in the Herald today. Like he was pretty bad in that. Again, I would trade Jonathan Jones, but I'm not trying to win games this year, and I don't sit on a high horse.
I wouldn't be able to get up there.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
I know. I try to beat people to the punch with the short jokes.
Got me with the like B Rabbit kind of, right? You know,
yeah.
Getting in there before
absolutely
before the rest of the guys can. All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the backup quarterback situation here in New England and around the league has taken center stage here as we get ready for this opening kickoff of Week One in the NFL tonight. We'll discuss that next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Trending brought to you by the 99s. Tanner Houck gave up a grand slam to Jesse Winker at the beginning of last night's Red Sox game. It didn't get much better than that. The Mets swept the series. They beat the Red Sox 8-3 last night in New York. Sox now fall back to 500. They've lost five in a row. They're now 5.5 games behind in the wild card hunt, tied with the Tigers and Mariners. They had the night off tonight. They'll get ready to host the White Sox for a weekend series at Fenway Park. First game goes down tomorrow night. First pitch at 7:10 p.m. Nick Pivetta scheduled to take the mound for your Boston Red Sox. He will face off against Davis Martin for Chicago. The Patriots had a practice today. They continue to get ready for their season opening game against the Bengals on Sunday afternoon. Kickoff at 1 p.m. from Paul Brown Stadium. After holding in, Bengals three-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase was back on the practice field with the team yesterday. And NFL season officially kicks off tonight as the Baltimore Ravens will be in Kansas City to take on the defending champions, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Chiefs looking to become the first team in NFL history to three-peat. Kickoff at 8:20 p.m. tonight from Arrowhead. Don't forget, you can listen to the game right here on WEEI. Our Westwood One coverage begins at 7:20, or download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. Again, trending brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. It's here. The prime rib dinner is back at the Nines. 16 ounces of slow-roasted USDA choice prime rib served with choices of two sides, your choice of two sides, available every Friday and Saturday after 4 p.m. and all day Sunday. You gotta love the Nines. Oh, I've always wanted to say that tagline. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show coming up.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Patriots start their 2024-2025 journey. He will be the man behind the center calling the plays as the Patriots get ready for what many are expecting to be a rebuilding season. Not a lot of success is expected. And I think that whether or not you're excited about this season, you're excited about the offense, you're excited about Jacoby Brissett, whatever it is, you should keep one thing in mind. And that is that in the NFL today, in 2024, 2025, et cetera, and beyond, the backup quarterback is not just someone who's in the background and who you see on the sideline with the clipboard and who you don't often hear from and you don't really see checking into these games very often. That is not the case anymore. And that's the way it was for most of my life. I mean, really, like, you know, for years and years and years, for decades even, the backup quarterback was someone that you rarely saw. You know, you saw him on the sideline, you saw him slapping the guy's helmet and, you know, giving everybody a butt tap on their way out to the field. But in general, it wasn't like
there had to be something go very, very wrong in order for the backup to go in. You didn't see it happen very often. Now you see it all the time. And injuries are up, obviously. That's a big part of it as well. But last year, 67 quarterbacks started games last season, 1 year after the Super Bowl era record in 2022 of 69, nice, quarterbacks starting that year. And that spike is not ESPN rights. The spike isn't just because the league added an extra game in 2021. The trend line from 2000 to 2020 predicted a 17th game would yield 59.6 starting quarterbacks per year. The average from 21 to 23 was 66. Three teams started at least four quarterbacks last year. The Cleveland Browns started five. And several GMs and club employees who spoke to ESPN this preseason couldn't point to one reason. More flexibility to return players from injured reserve, a tougher concussion protocol, a tendency to only keep two QBs on the active roster, which makes it harder to develop a third, are among the cited reasons why the benches have gone cold. Backup quarterbacks, not ceremonial anymore. They have to play. For coaches and GMs, quarterback strategy is under increased scrutiny. An analytics staffer told ESPN their department had multiple conversations with its head coach this summer about this trend and the development of quarterbacks beyond their starter. One general manager told ESPN he'd be looking for veterans with starting experience as the QB3 because he didn't feel comfortable with the young, untested QB3 and QB4 he had on his 90-man roster. Now, that seems a little extreme, getting a veteran QB3 and making sure you have three or four quarterbacks on your roster, period, just seems like a little much. But in general, the numbers are what they are. Backup quarterbacks now get into these games. You have to, and in some ways, I feel like Belichick was ahead of this because, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I remember him talking about, well, you know, we have to have a good backup. You know, we have to have Garoppolo on the team. We got a great quarterback room like that. Even when Brady was here, that was an important thing to him. And Brady played all the time. Brady never missed any games.
Yeah, they drafted a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The Rohan Day, in the middle of the draft, not even like throwaway picks, all
right
of them. Kevin O'Connell, Rohan Davey, Ryan Mallett, mm-hmm, you know, obviously Garoppolo, but there was a pretty consistent. Percept. Now, some of that I do think was also almost Ron Wolf tree Packers, their assets. You can never have, you know,
right,
if your guy never gets hurt and you develop him, you trade this guy and upgrade the value of that pick moving forward. But yeah, no, it's, you have to be prepared. I don't hate the idea. Like Bailey Zappi is a perfect third string quarterback,
mm-hmm,
for a team like that that says we want somebody in the third spot who knows what the hell they're doing, has some experience, has played games. The guy's 500 in the, yep, NFL as a starter. He started both of his two seasons in the league. There's definitely value to that. And you can even, you know, it wasn't going to be here because I don't think it was smart, but I think you could even marry that up with a veteran three behind a younger two. So the two is a guy, sure, you have hope and develop. The three is break glass in case of emergency. Let's not embarrass our franchise this year kind of thing.
Yeah, no question about it. Who would you say is the best backup quarterback in the NFL right now?
Drake May.
Is the best in the league?
Yeah, I love him.
Okay. Who's the second best? Fields, maybe?
Fields is in the conversation. It's such a weird thing because good backups are generally good in the sense, like, you don't think the wheels will fall off, but
right,
if they have to play 3 weeks, you're going to hate them by the end of the third week kind of thing.
Could be.
Gardner Minshew is a good backup quarterback. I don't, mm-hmm, think he's a good starting quarterback. Unfortunately, right now, he is a starter.
Aiden O'Connell might be one of the better backup
right
quarterbacks in the league right now just because he started last year. You're right. I
mean, you know, it's hard to be a good backup in a league where there's not enough good starters, because when you're a good backup, somebody makes you a starter, and then you're proven not a good starter, and you go back to being a backup. It's this weird sitting the fence kind of lifestyle for guys.
Yeah, and there's a good sort of mix, I'd say, between guys who were starters recently and kind of flamed out and are getting a second chance as a backup, like your Kenny Picketts and, you know, guys like that. There's career backups, like, you know, like you mentioned, Bailey Zappi or the kid in Chicago, Badgett, you know, guys,
yeah,
like that. You know, guys
Mariota
just,
now?
That's where they're destined to be. I put Mariota in, like, the veteran
yeah
thing, but yeah, like, he's...
And he started a bunch of games in this league. He's,
yeah,
seen a lot, like...
Him,
Jacoby
Winston,
Brissett's a great
Flacco
backup,
like those guys. Yeah, sure. Tyrod Taylor's another
Patriots
one.
Patriots,
like,
have the two best backups in the NFL.
Right. And they're both.
The problem is,
right, one of them
you
has
need
to
a
start
starter.
That is a bit of an issue. Yes, no question about it. But yeah, I mean, you look around the league and a lot of teams have three quarterbacks. I mean, right now, there are a bunch of teams. Every single team in the NFC East has three quarterbacks. The Cowboys have Prescott, Rush, and Trey Lance. The Giants have Jones, Locke, and DeVito. The Eagles have Hurts, Pickett, and Tanner McKee, whoever that is. And Washington has Jaden Daniels, Mariota, and Jeff Driscoll. So that's an entire division of teams with three quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's definitely a reaction to, because it was trending toward two. It was two and a practice squad or two and an emergency guy. That's definitely a reaction towards, oh, crap.
the average team plays two quarterbacks in recent years.
Yeah.
That's definitely a reaction to that.
It seems like it. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. You saw an article by Andrew Callahan in the Boston Herald today that caught your eye.
Friend of the Six Rings podcast, Andrew Callahan, had an exclusive interview with Elliot Wolf, the executive vice president of your New England Patriots. Obviously, they got into a lot of different topics, Drake May, you know, the roster, the offseason. It's a good read. So if you, you know, have the Herald login and can go get it, go read it yourself.
Do you think you could take Callahan in an arm wrestling match?
Probably.
You think so?
Yeah.
He's pretty bigger than I thought. Like, I saw him at Mego's wedding. I was like, hey, Callahan, what's going on? I was like, oh, it's...
Yeah, I feel like
this guy's got some muscle. You think you can take him?
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. I got bad elbows, though, so maybe not.
Well, the elbow, you got to keep the elbow down. It's really about...
I know, but there's like a lot of torque on the elbow
there.
That's
true. You do got to... It's really like in the wrist. I feel like if you got a strong wrist, you can do it. But yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I think I could take him.
Okay.
Anyway,
Callahan, that's a challenge, by the way, if you ever want to come in and prove it. You know, I think it is.
You asked me a question that I answered.
Right. And if you had said, no, I don't think so, then sure. But now you said you think you can beat him. I feel like now that's kind of a challenge.
Okay, whatever, for charity, doing one of those things.
Sure.
So that one of the things that stood out to me is the Drake May thing, because we all assume that Elliot Wolf was involved in the discussion, mm-hmm. right? The collaboration, even though Gerard Mayo, at the end, took full responsibility and says it was his decision. So, you know, there's a number of quotes in here about that, but there's one in particular, and I'm scrolling to find it. I'm not stalling here, I promise, is, you know, it basically said the worst thing in the world. I think he used that phrase. Okay, obviously it's going to depend on how the team's doing. And if Jacoby's lighting it up, the chances of Drake getting in there are going to be lessened. But we just feel like the worst thing that could happen, is you put a guy in before he's ready, and then you have to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's him or somebody in another position, for a young player to not be ready and be put in that position, it can be counterproductive to their career. So the worst thing they think, now I don't necessarily agree with this, because again, do you play any rookies then? You know, is Jalen Polk, are we sure Jalen Polk is 100% primed and ready to play?
I don't know that.
I don't. Layden Robinson.
He looked good. I mean, I think he is, but
sure.
I don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, so did Drake May.
Right.
I find that interesting, that the decisions that are made, and I know the positions are different and the leadership and the mental aspect of it, but Layden Robinson can get embarrassed at guard.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be good guys coming at him every snap, every game.
It's a lot of good interior linemen in the AFC, for sure.
So I found that interesting, that idea that the worst thing in the world is to have to pull somebody, which, again, I don't believe in. That implies a breakability.
Tua survived it.
Right. There's a lot of guys that I feel like have survived it and gone on to succeed, because it's part of... It's a big boy business, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be a big boy in the business, you got to be up to big boy business.
And also, if he's the backup, and we just talked about that, like if he's 100% the backup, which is what Gerard Mayo said, make no mistake about it, Drake May is our backup quarterback. If Jacoby Brissett goes out there and pulls an Aaron Rodgers, all of a sudden, like it or not, this guy's got to go out there and play. And that's the worst thing in the world if he's not
glad
ready.
You brought that up.
According to Elliot Wolf.
Clearly, Andrew Callahan in the interview brought that up, because the next quote is, well, if an injury arose, then Drake is the backup quarterback, and he might be thrust in there before he's fully ready. But we do have confidence in Drake, he said. It's not like we're just going to let him collect dust for the year. He's going to be out there in practice taking reps. He's going to take some reps with the starters. He's going to take some reps on the scout team and continue to progress to develop. But he acknowledges, yeah, we're going to put him out there, and we have confidence that he can do it if we have to. Well, if you have to and you have confidence that he can do it, why don't you have confidence that he can do it when you don't have to?
Good question.
It's a weird back and forth. My favorite quote here, or one of them, was the idea of tanking. You brought it up earlier. Trade Jonathan Jones at the trade deadline. And that's something that might be on Elliot Wolf's desk at some point.
Maybe.
I think tanking cheats the game. We would never get in a situation where we think that's the right way to go. That's not what the NFL is all about. That's not what pro football is all about. And that's not what we're going to be about. So he can't trade Jonathan Jones, right? He can't trade Jonathan Jones.
Well, that's not what they're about.
That's not what they're about. I do think it's going to be interesting
someone
to see how
they
approach
that. Second-round pick, it's going to be hard for him to say no to that, though, I think.
Someone offers
you a second for John, I don't think they will. But like if that was the case, if there's like a crazy market and a crazy run on corners at the trade deadline, you know, I would hope he'd at least take the answer the phone.
Yes. And then the other thing that I thought was interesting in here, and I'm looking for the quote, so I'm just going to paraphrase, is he talked about free agency and how they didn't really spend. They couldn't be, it didn't marry up. And he, I'm paraphrasing, but he said the strength of free agency was guard and running back.
Right.
And we needed basically, well, everything else. And it didn't really marry up with their needs. Now, we've debunked that a little. Jonah Williams would have made a lot of sense for them.
He sure would have.
Being more aggressive at the tackle position would have made more sense for them. And it was not a massive, you know, $80 million contract. It was 2 years, $30 million, something you easily could have swallowed, you easily could have dealt with, and not really had to blink to do so. So I think there's a little bit of a miss there.
A lot of guards did get signed. I mean,
it was guards and running backs. They all moved around. Yep. We're going to watch one of them tonight. Derrick Henry goes to, which in my opinion, quick side note, I think the most difficult or one of the most difficult things defenses will face in the NFL this year is the mesh point between Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. The legit run you over biggest back you're going to face and the fastest, quickest, embarrass you video game guy. And if you're a defensive lineman or a linebacker trying to decide which way do I kind of lean, which way do I err? Because if you get one step too far, oh, I'm going to take away Derrick Henry. I'm not letting him run up the middle. Well, Lamar's going to embarrass you off the edge. And if you're a step to the outside, now you're trying to arm tackle Derrick Henry when it's a give. I'm really intrigued to see where that zone read and read option type things they're going to run with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson go. But so that was his answer to he hopes next year they're going to be aggressive on elite players, and he's hoping that the guys that are available marry up. He also addressed the wide receiver position in the story where he's talked about they haven't – a couple of years ago they were sort of more available and they moved teams.
Mm-hmm.
This year they all kind of stayed with their teams.
Yeah, they all resigned.
Now, part of that
except for Ridley, but
Ayuk didn't want to go to your team.
Right.
You know, maybe he would have swapped teams a couple of years ago. And it was later in the process. That's a factor, I think, as we move forward as the afternoon program here, and this is going to be a talking point, the Patriots' acquisition of a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how often it's going to happen in training camp where you trade for Brandon Ayuk because he's unhappy or one of those other guys. These other moves happened draft time.
Right.
So you can trade a first-round pick, and they can make the pick.
Tyreek Hill,
A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs. So if you're going to trade for a receiver, trade for him in March or early April, get him on the roster and move forward. Both teams move forward. So that's just a little snapshot of an exclusive interview for Elliot Wolf in the Boston Herald.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Mass Live and Karen Garigian had an exclusive with Robert Kraft. He spoke a lot about Jerod Mayo. We'll get to that next. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. It's Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons here as we get you closer and closer to kickoff. There is a Red Sox. Oh, no, there is not a Red Sox game. No Red Sox game tonight. All right.
They will not lose tonight.
Thank God.
The bullpen will not blow.
I can't watch this team anymore. Like, honestly, they're torturing their fans.
Last night was brutal.
That first inning.
Brutal.
The first inning.
The walks at the end.
Brutal.
They are...
unwatchable. They're unwatchable.
Yeah, they're listenable, though.
Yeah.
They're listenable.
I mean, we'll see.
Oh, they're much more listenable.
Next up, a series against the White Sox.
Yeah, that's the slump buster, right? I mean, if it isn't, then it's
if it's not, I mean, listen, the season's over anyway.
It's the bullet in the season.
Did you see them all run into each other, the White Sox, the other day?
That was great.
That was... man.
Where did we fall to? Because you're actually tied with the Tigers, you know.
Yeah.
You're
also tied with the Tigers. I think the Rays are right behind you.
Oh, yeah.
The Mariners are catching up to you. Like,
last place is
it's over. I mean, this thing is long over. I am so happy the Red Sox are not playing tonight. Having to watch these games, and eventually we're not even going to have to watch them anymore because it's not going to be relevant. But like having to watch these games, having to watch them slide out of playoff contention, and just watching them embarrass themselves every night. This offense, the bullpen, everything. I mean, the New York Mets. What a massacre that was at Citi Field. Just an absolute massacre.
And these full screens that Nesson keeps putting up on the bullpen, like since the All-Star break.
Brutal.
And it's, I think it's 15 blown saves. The All-Star break.
That few, huh?
Like, wasn't that long ago? 15? That's a lot of blown. And their ERA is like a full run higher than any bullpen in baseball. It's bad.
The texter says, wow, it's the Red Sox station. You guys haven't talked Red Sox yet. What do you want us to talk about with this team?
Yeah, feel free.
Really, I mean, like, you have a Red Sox take you want to call in and give us, it's fine. 617-779-7937. There's only so many ways you can say this team's embarrassing and unwatchable and completely falling out of any contention that they were in. This is brutal.
And that,
this is about as bad of a collapse as they've had, and they collapse every year.
I truly appreciate the professionalism of the manager yesterday when we spoke with Alex Cora.
Yeah.
He seemed
in a decent mood. He's at peace with all of this.
To the point where he even acknowledged, looking back on the past collapses, like, sometimes I just wonder, are we doing this right? We fall apart every year, basically. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing what he said. And you got to feel for the guy. It's got to be infuriating. You have a plan. And they give days off. Like, the way they manage their roster, like, why does it always end up at the same spot? Now, I would tell him my simple answer, talent.
Yeah.
I think over the long haul, talent wins out. And fake talent or unsustainable production talent, those kinds of things fall by the wayside. And eventually, the good teams rest on their laurels of proven commodities, actual talent, and you can't piece it together. You can only piece it together for so long, and at some point, the boat starts to sink, right?
The only thing I'd say to that is the two guys who I think have been the most disappointing here in the second half have been Rafael Devers and Kenley Jansen, who are two of your most talented guys. I mean, Kenley Jansen's, what, sixth all-time in saves? And Rafael Devers is your $30 million man. Like, these are guys that you should be counting on to carry you at this point.
One's hurt, and one might be coming to the end of it.
It could be. It very well could be. Anyway, there you go. Your Red Sox minute, their texter. Jesus, is that really worth it? You know, it's just another 5 minutes. Yeah, the Red Sox suck. Is that really? Do you need that?
413 just said, can you guys talk less about the Red Sox?
413, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, if we don't talk about them again the rest of the season, I'd be happy.
No, 2413 is another one. I'm a Red Sox fan, and I appreciate any talk that's not Red Sox.
All right,
they're
fine.
Awful.
Then we'll call it
we'll
a day.
We'll appease
the
masses.
Absolutely. I have nothing else to say
about
them.
You did
them.
Call for calls.
I really did. I did that as a joke. I didn't think anybody
called.
Was actually going to call in.
Dalton, give him his 2 seconds.
Should I give Dalton his 2 seconds? All right, Dalton is in Dedham. Lovely town. Dalton, what's up?
Hey, guys, how we doing?
I mean, we're talking Red Sox, so not good, Dalton. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, listen, I mean, about 3 weeks ago, I was feeling really, really good about this team. I mean, everyone was on board. You know, Masataka Yoshida's hitting over 300. You know, even when you get Jaren Duran playing the way he had, I swear to God, ever since the All-Star break, we thought this team was going to be, you know, they're going to make the search to the postseason. They're going to prove everyone wrong. And then it shows you right then that a manager can only do so much. And with the resources that he had, we're throwing out Rich freaking Hill out there.
Mm-hmm.
When Cooper Criswell went 6 innings, correct me if I'm wrong.
It was 4 innings, but you're on the right track there. And that was a managerial decision, by the way. All right? Don't say the manager can only do so much. He didn't have to take Criswell out. He's the manager. He could have said, you know what, Cooper? You're really throwing the ball well right now. In fact, you're throwing it so well, it's perfect. You're throwing a perfect game. I'm going to give you one more inning there, Coop. What do you think about that? You think you can give me 5? You give me 4, perfect. You think you can give me 5? Instead, he goes to Rich Hill. Predictably, it's a total mess. Goes to Rich Hill last night. He walks in like 3 runs. Like, that was... I don't want to talk about the Red Sox anymore.
Wow.
I really
he
don't.
Had to. Mm,
I had to myself.
And just end it.
I had to go oomph myself. There's nothing else to say, right? Like all that stuff Dalton said is true. He didn't make
it's
anything
all talk.
Up there. Except for the 6 innings. It was actually 4 innings. But yeah, it's over. This thing's over. The Red Sox are who we thought they were.
Well,
they had a nice stretch there, and then they course corrected back to the 500 mediocre kind of crappy team that they actually are.
What do you think the chances are they go 9-13 in their final 22 or worse?
Worse, I'd say, yes.
Yeah.
I'd say
those of us that got
high.
The under 79.5.
I think, yeah, if you got that under, you should be feeling pretty good right now. Although they should beat the White Sox, but
yeah, but that could be 3 wins right there.
They got the Yankees, they got the Orioles, they got, you know, the Rays and some other teams here who they're not gonna take it easy on them. So, yeah, I think it's very, very realistic. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Damn it, we just did a whole Red Sox segment. I didn't want to do a Red Sox segment. I started off like saying, thank God they're not playing tonight, and it turned into a Red Sox segment. I apologize to the masses, to anyone listening right now. That was not intentional. We meant to talk about Gerard Mayo, but here we are. Anyway, 617-779-7937. We will put the train back on the tracks and get back to football. Chiefs and the Ravens are playing tonight, and we have some predictions, our final round of predictions for the upcoming season. We're going to tell you what the standings are going to be, who's going to make the playoffs, the Super Bowl matchup, and the Super Bowl winner. That's all coming up next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/AtBat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.